Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and I'm coming to you today from Fort Worth, Texas. We've been down here in VictoryCon. Amazing things are happening, and I just want to talk about our unity on this call. Last week, we had more than 900 of you praying together in one accord. That's so powerful. And New Hampshire is on the line today. Pastor Thomas Peace, is that you? So to all of you who said Boker Tov, which is Boker is morning and Tov is good, the answer to that among the people who are believers is Boker Or, and it says morning light, Or is light. And so I just pray all of the light of God's word and God's will be in your lives today. I want to talk about something that I got from the Lord an amazing evening that we had when the Spirit was moving at Brother Larry Allison's church. But I'll start off with talking about even where I am, and it's still going on today. I'm going home today, but I've been for the last 2 days part of the Victoryathon. Brother Kenneth Copeland was told by the Lord to go on every available voice. Now he must expand. His orders from the Lord are to expand. He's on every way you can receive anything, and we're on his Victory Network. He doesn't charge any of us to be on his network. The cost of that is more than $5 million to put all of us, I think there are 30 of us, broadcasters on free. And the Lord spoke to Jesse Duplantis to have a Victoryathon to help, because he's been on, he's had a channel on Dish TV, and now he's expanding to DirecTV. And that will mean an immediate expansion to the voice of all of us who are able to broadcast on there. And I have seen such amazing, amazing unity as the broadcasters came together. We had such fun, and it was like a little bit of heaven. You see this brother and that sister, and it just was wonderful. And we had such fun. And so the voice, especially of this network of people who are teaching the word, strong on the word, strong on faith, will have an immediate Dish Network reaches 9 million homes. Direct reaches almost 23 million plus. So praise God for that. It's going on today if any of you all want to tune in to it. We must pray for our president. That's of utmost importance right now, and I think that one of the main things to pray for him right now is protection. I know he's going to Minnesota. I know he's traveling to some other places. We're going to pray for his protection. We're not going to only pray for his physical protection, but from the strife of tongues. And we're going to stand on that scripture, Romans 8:33, who shall bring any charge, and this is from the Amplified Bible, who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies? That is, who shall come, who puts in right relation to himself, who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? So we chose this verse because it uses that word impeach. And so here we go. Father, in the name above all names, you see us. You see how we are in unity of love and faith. We love you. Everyone on this call loves you, and they love your people, Israel, and they love this country, and they love their country, the ones from Canada. They're facing an election very soon, Lord, and we want to stand with them that they will have a government that is once more, they've had it before, that was so pro-Israel and moving with God, but not lately. And now, Father, they have the opportunity to change. And we just lift up their elections, and that they will, hallelujah, in the name above all names, they will have a leader who stands and yields to God. That's what we pray for our leaders, Lord. You told us to pray, first of all, for presidents, for kings, for those who are in authority, Father, prime ministers in these days. And, Lord, we just lift them up. We lift them up to you. Please help Canada. Move upon them in the voting booths, Father, to choose the one that will yield to you. Move upon those in Israel, Lord. O salamakahabra pashon de belatino non combrate. To make the moves and to make the alliances, Father, that will line up with you. And we lift up our own President Donald John Trump. We expect angels to protect him today. We know that he has the Secret Service, and we're asking you to quicken them, help their eyes to dart around and to see and nothing to be. Everything's open to you. It is written in Hebrews. Everything is open. Reveal, Father, things that the enemy would conceal. Protect him with the earthly protectors. And, Father, we pray with the angelic protectors to surround him and his family and our Vice President, Pence, and Mike Pompeo, Lord. Mike Pompeo, Father, in the name above all names. He's a believer. A friend of mine was in his office not long ago, and he called me or texted me at the same time and told me that he was praying, and he told Mike Pompeo that he would have people pray for him. We are that people. You have a people, Lord, and we are that praying people. We lift up our Secretary of State. We lift him up to make the right decisions. Father, we lift up all. We lift up all those who, Father, would govern under your hand. And we lift up those who don't know to do it. The evil, Father, we're asking you to reveal. We're asking you to reveal the shadow government. That would right inside the White House, right inside those places, Father, would steambrokahabrate ishandalamange. We're asking you to reveal that which you believe, which we believe should be revealed. In the name above all names, we thank you for our legislature. We thank you for our states and our governors, Father. We thank you for those who are governing on the state level. We want to praise you, some of the new judges that have been put in place. And we ask you that President Trump has the opportunity to put more. Oh, Father, in the name above all names. Lord God, we're getting ready to have our annual autumn assembly. People have told me, our friends from Canada that I saw recently told me, we weren't going to come this year. We've come every year, but God told us we need to be there. Oh, folks, I have seen what unity can do in this meeting in Fort Worth, and I see what unity can do on our prayer call and on the noontime prayer. What's the noontime prayer? Father, in the name above all names, we pray for unity, and we pray that you will remove those, Father, who would yield to the hand of the enemy to divide and conquer. We pray for the states. We pray for the governors of states. We pray for the legislatures and the judicial, right down to the very, very Branson, Missouri, even Kirbyville, the little burg that I'm a part of. Father, in the name, we just praise you, and we give you glory. Now, we'll touch lightly here on the Israeli elections. As you know, President Rivlin gave Benjamin Netanyahu the right to put together a government, a coalition. And here's the thing. The other party that got the votes is the blue and white, and its leader is Benny Gantz. Its next to the leader is a friend of mine, General Ya'alon. If you've been with me to Israel, General Ya'alon will usually always come and talk to us. He's the number two man in the blue and white party. I really like him. People like Benny Gantz. But there's a man in that at the very top named Lapid, and he is Yair Lapid, really. He's not going to agree to anything. He's far, far to the left. So right now, Netanyahu has said he will not give up his alliance with the bloc. He came in with a bloc, and he had 55 seats, and his bloc includes religious parties. Lapid, on the blue and white, said, we will not serve with the religious parties at all. So there is the possibility that the Likud still will sign up with Yisrael Beiteinu, with Lieberman's party. They still have the right to make some coalition deals. If not, then it'll be given to Benny Gantz, who probably will not be able to make a coalition. And so where are we standing in this matter? Stalemate. Now, I want to touch a little bit on the players in Ezekiel 38. The players of that war in Ezekiel 38 and 39 are headed up by Russia. And number two, their number one ally is Persia or Iran. Now, this item, you know that Iran, the United States, the world has been on the brink of a war because Iran attacked the Saudi oil fields. Now, today, President Vladimir Putin said on Wednesday that there was no evidence that Iran was responsible for an attack on the Saudi oil infrastructure, that they had not, the U.S. hadn't provided proof. Putin said, we condemn these attacks, but we are against shifting the blame to Iran because there's no proof of that. Putin said that President Rouhani of Iran has told him personally that Tehran had nothing to do with the attacks. Well, who could believe them? But we see the players in place, and right now, I think this war is in the offing. I think it's in the future, but I really believe, and this is coming by the Spirit, and some of the people I know that hear the Spirit of God, it shouldn't happen now. And so here we are, Father, in the name above all names. I'm asking you on this call from all of our states. I wouldn't be surprised with New Hampshire on board. We have all 50 states. Father, I know that we are representative. And in the name above all names, the horrors of war. And this war, Lord, it would be the most horrible. And so we're asking right now, we believe it's according to your will. We ask right now that you move down through our leaders and move down through Israel's leaders and move, Father, in behalf of not being a war right now. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, we believe we're playing according to your will. We worship you and adore you. Now, most of you on this call, I wouldn't say most Christians, but most of you on this call know that we have just had Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, and it was so telling that we began this meeting here, this Victory-thon on Rosh Hashanah. Actually, I talked to Jesse much about it. He didn't even realize it was Rosh Hashanah. But I believe it was very telling, and I believe the reason why is because of something that I heard in the Spirit, and I want to share it with you. That on September 19, which is 10 days before Rosh Hashanah, I was in a meeting at Walk on the Water Faith Church in Osage Beach, Missouri, which is pastored by Drs. Larry and Loretta Austin. The Lord told me that day as I was preparing for the meeting, Bob Yandian had spoken, I think, the night before, and or Lynn Mink and someone, but anyway, they were in the meeting. Bob had gone home by the time we had this Thursday night meeting. But so as I was praying that day, the Lord said to me, the crowd will be sparse, and that's how he wanted it. And it reminded me of Brother Hagin, you know, when he was down in Rockwall, Texas, and the people couldn't get to the meeting because it had rained and the mud was so thick. And that was the night God caught him up to heaven. So many things happened. You can read about it in, I believe, in Visions. So I knew, you know, you were going to walk in, you're not going to see many people. And as soon as I got there, Dr. Larry Allison said to me, the worship team is going to leave right after worship. There's a huge Christian concert with all the top Christian artists. And they're even, our worship team is going to get to be a part of it. So, sure enough, they all filed out. And there we were. And the Lord had told me not to preach long and exactly what to share. And then to wait, and then to pray. And so I stopped. I can't remember whether I said anything about what the Lord had told me. And Lynn Mink got up, and he had a song in the Spirit. That song in the Spirit was marvelous. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. It's rather long. But he has quite an anointing and a prophetic anointing. And it called us
That song in the Spirit called us to unbroken fellowship with God. Not just going in and coming out, but having uninterrupted communication. You will fly to every nation in your prayers. So be ready for my instant download. I will encode you and download you with magnificent revelations. All of a sudden, you will see nations, and you will know how to pray so that they'll go in the way I want them to go. Oh, my. Well, right away, when the Lord talks so much about fellowship, and he used it more times than I read you there, he said, I knew that fellowship means, it's a Greek word, and it doesn't mean just like you stay to church, you know, after and have coffee. It's that which was from the beginning. This is what John 1:1 says, which we've heard and we touched Jesus, we saw Jesus. And 1 John 1:3 says, and that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, in order that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And this word fellowship, it's koinonia. I'm not sure I'm saying it right in the Greek. It means fellowship as partners and partakers. Partners and partakers with God in his business, in the business of prayer. And the Amplified Bible translates it that way. Fellowship as partners and partners with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:5, this then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So to fellowship with God, to work with God, then you must know that God is light. And you, and in working with him, you can't attribute to him any darkness. Like you can't pray for the sick to be healed if you're thinking God made them sick. Cancers and oh my goodness, they're evil and they're dark. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. So then we are told in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So in Lynn Meek's song, when we're called to unbroken fellowship, we are to walk in the light. We are to walk in love. We are to walk in a communication with God where we are in the attitude of prayer. Brother Lawrence said 500 years ago, have lots of little conversations with God. Talk to him through the day about where you are. And we're having fellowship with him right now. We have met to have fellowship, to work with the Father. So immediately, maybe it was a few seconds as I was waiting on God, there came a word through me. And oh, how I've been thinking about it. 2020 will be a year of transition, and it will begin with the beginning of the year as I see it on Rosh Hashanah. Now that's the word of the Lord. This was given me 10 days before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah was September 29. The evening and the morning is the day, you know, to, in God's way of doing in Genesis and in Israel. And so I knew while I was giving the word that even though God called it 2020, he was talking about the year that began with Rosh Hashanah 2019, last Sunday, and would end with Rosh Hashanah 2020. Well, here's the thing. Most of the year that began, Rosh Hashanah that began with the, on the 29th, most of the year, as God sees the year, he doesn't go by our calendars. Our years are off anyway. He goes by his calendar. And most of that year will be in what we call the year 2020. It's beginning now, and it will have October, November, December. But the rest of it is what we call 2020. So I knew that God was talking about the years as he sees them. So that's how we're going to look at this word that came through me. It was strong. It was powerful. It will begin with the beginning of the year as I see it on Rosh Hashanah. That year will be a year that's transition on to the next year. In the next year, all things will have begun, begun to end, begun to change, to move, to rearrange. Now this year, I must have you. I must have my body, the church, in that fellowship I just sang about. Unbroken fellowship. So prepare for it to begin. The transition year in 2020. I'll provide all you need to fulfill my will. Work with me in fellowship, in prayer. For yourself, yes, but beyond yourself. And know that it will start the transition year on Rosh Hashanah. And on the year on Rosh Hashanah that is in 2021, a big change. Hallelujah. Well, transition year. I looked up transition, and this is the most simple definition I found. The process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. And I knew by the Spirit of God that the year that began last Sunday night, is going to be an immediate moving into a transition state, a period of changing from one state or condition to another. One of the things that the Lord said was, through Brother Lynn Mink, was that he will download us with magnificent revelations. I was here yesterday taking part here at Fort Worth, down at Eagle Mountain, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and I was taking part in the Victory-thon, and they asked me if I would come over and teach. They had a class that they're teaching in their Bible school, their Bible college, and if I would come over and address the students, because the teacher, Greg Stevens, was teaching on the diaspora. And I'm telling you, I only took 15 minutes. It was very clear. The anointing came and it was very clear. I'm teaching along and Greg Stevens, the teacher, begins to wave his arms. He had been downloaded a revelation. Now, I don't have time to explain this whole thing, but when he gave it to me, I said, this is a revelation from God. I will expand on this sometime. I don't know if it will be at Autumn Assembly. I don't know where, but I will expand on it because I got the revelation myself. Did you ever wonder why people don't understand about Israel? Why they can't see Israel in the plan of God? Well, here I am teaching on the diaspora. Plan A for Israel was that God's, and I had the Bible, I had them turn to Deuteronomy 28. Plan A for Israel's job, Israel's calling is to reveal God to the nations. They had just fallen at Babylon. So immediately he introduces Abraham and he introduces his chosen, separated nation. Plan A for that nation is that they move into the Promised Land, which is a land bridge between the three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa, and that they move into that land bridge where all the armies of the earth at that time, the caravans came through because it was easy passage. The way of the sea was easy passage. So plan A was for them to live in their land and be blessed. All those blessings in the first 14 verses are blessings you can see of Deuteronomy 28. And it says in there, and all the people, all the nations will see. They're supposed to see. All of those are blessings you can see. And it was God's plan A that they stay in that land and you can see them. And you can see how they're blessed and they only worship one God, who is the true God. Now, plan B, if you don't obey me and you take off after other gods, then plan B and the curses come, and the worst one is, I will scatter you throughout all the earth. That word scatter, the first time that the Bible was translated into another language, it was translated into the Greek. And that translation is called the Septuagint. And the Greek, that word in Hebrew, scatter, is a word of planting. You know how that you plant some things like corn in a row, you just drop a kernel, but some things you broadcast, you scatter the seed. And you can tell in the Greek word it was diaspora. Spore is seed, or the diaspora, some people say. Immediately, Greg starts waving his hands. He got a download, and the Lord downloaded into him how he talked about the parable of the sower and the seed in the New Testament. And he said, if you don't understand this, you don't understand any parables, any teachings. If you don't understand the sower and the seed, the sower. And immediately God got downloaded into Greg. That's why people don't understand. That's the basis for understanding all of God's word, is seed time and harvest. And if they don't understand that God sowed the Jews, and plan B is he sowed them. They revealed God wherever he went. They knew they were God's people. And then at the last, King James says, hiss for them. It's in the Hebrew, it's pipe for them, from Zechariah. A little pipe, like pipe, is going off in their spirits, and he's bringing them home, and that's going to reveal that he's God. And so, I don't know, I tried to get that into you. I don't know, you'll have to think about it a little bit. But I do know that something changed, and I did a lot of research. If something's going to change, I went on and I listened to Rabbi Chaim Richman. He's the one with the Temple Institute. And I listened to him, and I heard the temple, the blast. I played it when I was up at Mack and Lynn Hammond's church. I played that blast on the trumpet because it's Leviticus 23:23. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. So it's a day of sounding the shofar. It's the day of the blast. It's translated in some cases, the blast of the shofar. And I read in the Jerusalem Post, the evening begins with Jews around the world hearing the shofar. And at Mack and Lynn's church, I played this. I had gotten it online at Rabbi Chaim Richman's radio program. And I read in the Jerusalem Post an article that said, the evening begins with Jews around the world hearing the shofar. The job of the shofar is to wake us up from our spiritual slumber, to make us fully alert. Immediately after the shofar blast, we say, today is the birthday of the world. Today, the world stands in judgment. This beginning of the year, the Jews celebrate two years. The year that was instituted and initiated, Exodus 12, when they came out of Egypt, is the sacred year. And there God sets forth seven moeds, seven dates that he circles on his calendar. It's not the Jewish calendar. Thank God they kept it so that we can know what it is. But that began, and there are four feasts that come in the spring. It starts with Passover, the very same week of Passover. There's 7 days of unleavened bread. Each of these feasts have a fulfillment. They have three things. They have a harvest. They have a historical event that happened on that day. And they have a fulfillment. The first four of the seven feasts have been fulfilled. New Testament tells us that Jesus is the fulfilling of those feasts. And so, on Passover, he's the Passover lamb. The same day begins seven days of unleavened bread. Leaven's a type of sin. He dealt with the sin problem. The last of that week, they offer the first fruits of the barley harvest. They wave it before the priest. New Testament tells us he is our first fruits of resurrection. Count 50 days, and you're down to Pentecost. Of course, he asked the Father, and the Father poured out the Holy Spirit. So those four have been fulfilled. Then you have some months with no holy days. And you go to the fall. And in the fall, you have Rosh Hashanah, which begins 10 days of introspection. Then you have Yom Kippur, when the sins are dealt with again. Well, I'm not going to get to go into detail. Then 5 days later, you're going to have the Tabernacles or Sukkot. Those three haven't been fulfilled. There will be a fulfilling of this Feast of Trumpets that calls for the Messiah. It calls for the Redeemer. Remember that it was the lamb's horn came from when Abraham was to offer up Isaac. And he said, Father, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And there was a ram caught in the thicket. This day, that day, calls for so many things. But one thing it calls for is the coronation of the king. And it calls for the Messiah. And then these three feasts have not been fulfilled. But the Lord said that something big, when that word came to me, something big would happen. We would transcend into something big by the next sabbatical year, which will begin September 7, 2021. And it will go to September 26, 2022. We're in the fifth year of a Shemitah cycle. And so this is going to be a transition over into something that will really have begun on the first year, I don't know what these things are. I can guess, but I can tell you, folks, he's here. He's even at the very door. And so you who are prayers, you who do work with God, oh my, what an important time. And we're getting ready to meet. We're getting ready to meet together at our autumn assembly starting October 16. I'm asking you to stay in fellowship with God over the autumn assembly. I know it's the most important one we've ever had, as all so many prayers will be coming. We'll have a great contingency from the states and from nations around the world. This year we're going to have a roll call of states. We want the people of Arkansas to know who the other Arkansasers are there. The people of New Hampshire, Thomas, to know who the other New Hampshireites or whatever you call yourselves. But, oh, my goodness, we're going to go up to the throne of God. And this year, whatever this transition is, it will happen in you individually, but it's going to happen in the church. What an important time this is. I'm asking you to pray about Autumn Assembly. I'm asking you to pray for me. And, oh, folks, anticipating these great changes happening, things are breaking for us at McDowell. Things are breaking for us. We're right up. We have met the requirements, the legalities, and the next thing is we'll get a go. And, oh, my goodness, we're going to pray about that. Please pray about it. The Lord has assured me it's coming right on time. I'm not a bit discouraged. But I am so encouraged as we're about to dig that dirt. And I'm going over there with our 3BI tour in February. And I'm going to ask them to give me a shovel. And I am going to dig a hole. I don't care if it's a sandpail shovel. But we are starting. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I appreciate all of your prayers. All of your prayers. Appreciate you so much. You have no idea what it does for me to hear your voices, and I can recognize your voices, voice recognition. I would know some of you if I heard your voice in the next grocery aisle. And you know that happens to me. That's why I use that illustration. I'll be in a grocery aisle, and I'm not that tall, you know, and I'll come around the end, and someone will say, I know that voice. I'll listen to you on the radio. So, praise the Lord. I know your voices. But that's not the important thing. He knows your voice. And when you lift up that voice in a constant fellowship with God this year, vast steps shall be made by the body of Christ. I love all of you, and I would love to see all of you at Autumn Assembly. And if you can't get to Branson, we will be online. Love you, and shalom, shalom. Have a marvelous day today in his service.